Good afternoon, everyone. Been a warm Sunday today. Cold, and it's been a good pleasure to be here amidst of brothers and sisters to worship the Lord and to serve Him and to praise Him and to hear some message from the Bible, which will encourage us, which will strengthen our faith to stay and to stay in this world, to be as holy as possible and to be obedient to God. So today we will discuss some more parables of Jesus Christ. So today we will take up two parables which will try to explain about forgiveness, and let us see what is the lesson that we are going to learn from today. So the two parables are the parable of two debtors and the parable of a Pharisee and a tax collector. So we'll go more in detail after some time. So, but before that, let me try to give you some examples why Jesus wanted to speak in parables. So for me, if I want to give a speech to the audience, and I'm a software engineer, and if I talk in terms of an Oracle database or a Java program, not many of us will understand it, because it's quite, you feel that it's a very difficult technology or to something to understand. But if I can give you some simple examples, that Oracle database is a computer where your user ID and password is stored. So whenever you try to log in, so it checks for user ID and password. And Java program is like a Gmail application. So everyone know about Gmail. So if I can give some examples, simple term examples like this, so everyone can understand what I am trying to tell. Similarly, Jesus wanted to explain about the heavenly kingdom to the audience at that point of time. He wanted to use simple terminologies, simple stories, so that they can understand it. But we can see not many times Jesus was successful in explaining them, because they didn't understand what Jesus intended. We can read in John chapter 6, verse 27.
Werk niet om de spijs die vergaat, maar werk om de spijs die blijft tot in het eeuwige leven, welke de Zoon des Mensen u geven zal, want op hem heeft God de Vader zijn zegel gedrukt.
Here we see an example where Jesus Christ, Jesus did a miracle. He fed around 5,000 people, and the next day they are coming again to Jesus, not for the heavenly kingdom, but for the earthly food. So Jesus explains, do not work for the food that spoils in this earth. So when Jesus gives examples to them, but they never understood the examples, but instead they were looking about earthly things and they were always earthly minded. So these parables really give us an opportunity to understand what really Jesus meant for everyone to understand what he is speaking about. Let's go about the first parable that we are going to discuss today. So let us turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Chapter 7, and can you read it from verse 36 until
38? 36 tot 38. Een van de fariseeën nodigde Jezus uit om bij hem te komen eten. En hij kwam in het huis van de fariseeër en ging aanliggen. En zie, een vrouw die in de stad als zondares bekend stond, bemerkte dat hij aan tafel was in het huis van de fariseeër. En zij bracht een albasten kruik met mirre. En zij ging wenende achter hem staan bij zijn voeten en begon met haar tranen zijn voeten nat te maken en droogde ze af met haar hoofdhaar en kuste zijn voeten en zalfde ze met mirre.
Here we see an incident happening at the house of the Pharisee. His name is Simon. So Jesus Christ is invited for a dinner by the Pharisee. And when Jesus is there, a woman who was living a sinful life came there, and she started cleaning the feet of Jesus Christ. So, before we go on in depth into the parable, there are certain questions that we need to understand here. First of all, why did Pharisee invite Jesus for a dinner? Even Pharisee is not a perfect man. He is also a sinner, maybe. But he has invited Jesus for a dinner for no reason, because Bible doesn't say anything. But what we can understand here is maybe he would have expected some mercy from Jesus, that Jesus might forgive his sins. When Jesus was invited, Pharisee didn't do anything, but we see a woman who was living in a sinful life. She came there and she was cleaning the feet of Jesus with perfume, with her tears, and she was kissing all the time, kissing the feet of Jesus Christ. But seeing this, the Pharisee was thinking something else. If we can read in verse 39.
Toen de fariseer die hem genodigd had dat zag, zeide hij bij zichzelf, indien deze de profeet was, zou hij wel weten wie en wat deze vrouw is die hem aanraakt, dat zij een zondares is.
What was the mindset of Simon here? Why did he think that Jesus would not know of what kind of a woman she is? Why Jesus is not preventing her to coming near to him, but yet Jesus is allowing her to do some service for him, so that she is cleaning his feet, she is cleaning with her hair, she is pouring some perfume on it, and she is kissing his feet. But why did Jesus allow this to happen? This is what the mindset of Simon. He was thinking, oh, she is a sinful woman, and why is Jesus allowing her to come near her? Did he really understand Jesus, who Jesus is? Or did he really understand what is the mission of Jesus in this world? If we can quickly read from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul exclaims what was the mission of Jesus Christ in this world.
1 Timothy 1 verse 15, dit is een getrouw woord en alle aanneming waard, dat Christus Jezus in de wereld gekomen is om zondaren te behouden, onder welke ik in eerste plaats inneem.
Jesus Christ came to this world to save the sinners. So this mission is quite clear. But here we can see that Simon, even though he was a sinner, but he is thinking, why does Jesus allow a sinful woman who was living in a sinful life, why does he allow her to come and do all the services? This was quite strange, and how partial Simon was, that he was thinking that he was perfect and he invited Jesus for a dinner. But that woman he didn't invite, but yet she was coming and servicing Jesus. But later on we see Jesus Christ knew what was in the mind of Simon. If we can read from verse 40 until 42.
En Jezus antwoordde en zeide tot hem, Simon, ik heb u iets te zeggen. Hij zeide, meester, zeg het. Een schuldeiser had twee schuldenaars. De een was hem 500 schellingen schuldig, de ander 50. Toen zij niet konden betalen, schonk hij het hun beiden. Wie van hen zal hem dan het meest lief hebben?
So Jesus Christ gives a small example to Simon. Let him understand what he is thinking, and Jesus wanted to clarify his doubt. So he gives an example. There are two men who owed some money to a certain money lender. One owed 500 denarii and the other one owed 50 denarii. For the person who gave the money, for him, both of these people owed something for him. It doesn't matter how much you own, but still you need to give something to me. So that's what he was thinking. But later on, we see there was a situation for both of those two people that they couldn't repay the money. But still, the person who gave the money was ready to forgive them. So there is a simple question what Jesus is asking to Simon. We can read in 43.
Simon antwoordde en zeide, ik onderstel hij aan wie hij het meeste geschonken heeft. Hij zeide tot hem, je hebt juist geoordeeld.
So Jesus asked Simon, which one of those two will love him more? So Simon is very clear here. He says, I suppose the one who had the biggest debt cancelled. So Jesus said, you judged correctly. So the person who has to pay more, he was the more happiest person, and he was the one who loved him more. So here we can see a comparison what Jesus Christ is trying to make with those two people who asked to repay the money, and here we have two people, Simon and the sinful woman. For Jesus, both of these two people are debtors, irrespective of whatever value that they need to repay. Jesus didn't differentiate them because their values were different. He has to pay 500 and he has to pay 50. No, Jesus didn't differentiate them. But Jesus considered them as sinners for them to do something else. But if they are really humble, if they are really honest, if they are really having much faith in Jesus, they would have had something from Jesus. This is what Jesus sees those two people. So here Jesus Christ clarifies his doubt, and he also gives an explanation why he is doing all these things. Why did he give this example? If we can read verse 44 until 47.
En zich naar de vrouw wendende, zeide hij tot Simon: Ziet jij deze vrouw? Ik ben in uw huis gekomen, water voor mijn voeten heb jij mij niet gegeven. Maar zij heeft met tranen mijn voeten nat gemaakt en ze met haar haren afgedroogd. Een kus heb jij mij niet gegeven, maar zij heeft, van dat ik binnengekomen ben, niet opgehouden mijn voeten te kussen. Met olie heb jij mijn hoofd niet gezalfd, maar zij heeft met mirre mijn voeten gezalfd. Daarom zeg ik u, haar zonden zijn haar vergeven, al waren zij vele, want zij betoonde veel liefde. Maar wie weinig vergeven wordt, die betoont weinig liefde.
This is a very good example what Jesus Christ is trying to explain him. He is explaining what Simon should have done. He is explaining what that woman did to him. So, right from the moment that Jesus Christ entered into the house, he was expecting Simon to give some water to wash his feet, but he didn't. But we can see that the woman, she made wet Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Simon didn't give a kiss, but this woman, she didn't stop kissing his feet. Simon didn't give any oil to put on Jesus' head, but this woman, she has poured a very costly perfume on his feet. So here he gives an example, a comparison. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she loved Jesus the more than Simon. Even Simon also loved Jesus. He invited Jesus for a dinner to have him in his life, to expect some forgiveness from him. But here we see, more than Simon, the woman, she had more sins, and those sins were forgiven by Jesus Christ. So Jesus forgives that woman for all of her sins because she loved him more than Jesus. As the value of debt that she had to repay to Jesus was much more than Simon. So Simon also was a sinner, but he was not that worse than the woman. But here we can see Jesus sees the woman that she loves him more than Simon. So this is a very good lesson that we need to understand, that we must humble ourselves and come forward, and we should love God more and more. So when we love him more, we will be forgiven more. So this is the lesson from the first parable that we saw today. Let us move on to the second parable, which is in Luke chapter 18. And we can read verse 9.
Hij sprak ook met het oog op sommigen die van zichzelf vertrouwden dat zij rechtvaardig waren en al de anderen verachten deze gelijkenis.
So here Jesus is trying to give another example to the people who were really confident on their own righteousness. Ah, I am perfect. Not many of us, when I can compare to another person, that he is not perfect but I am perfect. So people of those kind, Jesus Christ is giving a parable for those people who are very confident on their righteousness and look down on everybody else. Okay, go ahead and read verse from 10 until 12.
Twee mensen gingen op naar de tempel om te bidden. De een was een fariseer, de ander een tollenaar. De fariseer stond en bad dit bij zichzelf: O God, Ik dank u dat ik niet zo ben als de andere mensen, rovers, onrechtvaardigen, echtbrekers, of ook zoals deze tollenaar. Ik vast 2 maal per week. Ik geef 10e van al mijn inkomsten.
Sometimes even we also see many people, our friends, our relatives and all the different types of people that we meet in our daily life. And we see their activities, what they do publicly, or how do they fear God, what is their faith in God and all those things. And we judge them, okay, he is this kind of a person, he is not a God-fearing person, and he is always a very bad person, he does everything, illegal things and all those stuff. We sometimes judge people comparing ourselves, that I am perfect, I go to church every week, and I love God more, and I am so faithful to him, and I obey his command, but not like others. But what does God see when comparing to, when he compares ourselves and the person that we are judging? But what does he see inside us? How is our heart? What is his heart? Like, what's his condition? So here we can see the first person, the Pharisee, he is praying to the Lord. He says, we can clearly see he is not so humble enough to come in front of the temple, and he is praying, oh God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, the other person who is standing behind me, or like other people who are robbers, who are evildoers, who are adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. So these are some commandments which the Jews followed. And he is telling that he was perfect, that he did everything perfect. But when we read in verse 13,
de tollenaar stond van verre en wilde zelfs zijn ogen niet opheffen naar de hemel, maar hij sloeg zich op de borst en zeide, o God, wees mij zondaar genadig.
So here we see the other person. What is his prayer towards the God? He says that he was not even able to look up at the heaven, but he bit his breath and said, God, please have mercy on me, a sinner. How many times, how often do we do this, or how often we are in this state, and how many times do we humble ourselves to the Father in heaven? So here is a very great example of how we should think about ourselves, of how we should not judge others like the Pharisee did. And if we can read in verse 14, Jesus Christ gives a summary of this parable.
Ik zeg u, deze keerde in tegenstelling met de ander gerechtvaardigd naar huis terug, want een ieder die zichzelf verhoogt, zal vernederd worden, doch wie zichzelf vernedert, zal verhoogd worden.
So we see here the Pharisee, he was very proud, he was very boastful in claiming that he is perfect. But on the other case, we see the tax collector who knows that he is a sinner, but he comes to God and he humbles himself very honestly and says, God, please forgive me, please have mercy on me because I am a sinner. Maybe he might have also done this, he might have also fasted twice a week, he might have also given a tenth of all what he gets, but still he doesn't say these things as proud, but he humbles himself and he asks for mercy from God. So Jesus Christ, he concludes saying that, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So this is a very good lesson for us, that we need to learn, and sometimes we might need to put into practice in our life, that we should humble ourselves, we should not compare ourselves with other people, that they are bad and we are good, and we are much more perfect than them. But God is not expecting those things from us, but he is expecting that we should humble ourselves. So to conclude, we see the first parable where God is expecting the one who loves him more, that he will be forgiven more. And in the second example that we saw today, so here the one who humbles himself more will be exalted. On the other hand, the person who exalts himself will be humbled. So God wants us to love him more and more. On the same time, he wants us to be humble enough, to be honest, and we should always seek for his mercy and for his forgiveness. But if we do so, surely we will be showered with His blessings.